say it's so great to have you here today. I feel better that you're sitting next to me. I feel better that you're sitting next to me, Peter. I don't know if you were standing up here. Anyway, Ben, you guys can grab a seat if you like. If you don't, you can stand for the entire service. It is completely up to you. I won't force you to do something you don't want to do. Isn't it great to be in church on a Sunday morning? Yes, it is. It is. And I'm really excited. We've been doing a series over the past few weeks about running your race, about running the race that God has given each and every single one of us, a race of faith. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. That has been our key verse for about the past 6 weeks, and we're gonna delve into this a bit more, and I'm going to be talking about the topic today of spiritual streakers. Spiritual streakers. So turn to the person next to you, tell them to put something on. Put something on. And I'm going to put on some prayer before I go any further so we don't get in awkward situations. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and look at your word. We thank you that your word is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It brings life, that no word spoken returns void, that comes from your word, God. So we ask, Jesus, in your mighty name, that today that our hearts would be ready to receive what you want to say to us here in this place. You'd speak to us collectively. You'd speak to us individually. You'd help us be transformed. You'd help encourage us. You would help speak life. You would help speak hope. You would help speak conviction. You would help speak correction so that we can become more like Christ in all that we do. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. Now, first, I just need to do a massive shout out to our Derwent Valley campus. It is great that you're here with us through the live feed. We hope that the Derwent Valley building is nice and warm this morning. It's actually a beautiful sunshiny day for this time of year, so I'm sure it's toasty warm up there, and we're so glad. We're praying for you from down here at Belrive. Keep up the great work. But if you didn't hear this before, if you only just tuned in Derwent Valley, today we're talking about spiritual streakers. Now, when I was in high school, there was a camp that I went on. Has anyone ever been to a campsite down on Spring Beach? Yeah, you know the one. Fantastic. Wow, this is like a nostalgic moment. We're just going to ignore everyone else and just say, what happened, Jen? No, don't tell us. So what happened with me was this. One day when I was in, I think it was grade 7 or 8, we went on camp down to Spring Beach. Now, one of the amazing things about the Spring Beach camp is the shower blocks are downstairs, and then upstairs is the rooms. And you know what? When you build your whole reputation at high school of being the class clown, generally people think it's funny to then do things to you. So after a day of running around, doing stuff, not hide and seek, I was trying to think. We went down to the beach and we walked places and did all different things. We went back to the big building and I thought to myself, you know what, this would be a great time to have a shower. I haven't had one this morning, and if my mum was there, she would have told me I stunk and would have told me to go have a shower. So I decided that I would get my stuff together. I'll get my towel. I'd get a change of clothes. I'd get all the bits and pieces you need, like shampoo and all the fun things. And I'd go down to the boys' area, and I would start. I'm not going to start doing that. And I'll have a shower. And I tell you what, that shower was one of the most refreshing showers I've had ever. I reckon. Oh, I was tired. I'd been awake and for a couple of days. You know, because when you're that age, you don't actually sleep. That's why you need to be praying for our youth leaders at Ignite Youth Camp, because they don't know what they're in for. But you know, I was there having this shower. It was an incredible experience. And then I turned off the tap. Just went around the corner a little bit, and my towel's gone. My towel's gone. Where's my towel? Wait a second, where's my clothes? Where's all my stuff gone? Do you know the feeling that sinks into your heart when all of a sudden you realize your friends have done something to you that isn't overly nice? You know, you more mature Christians in the faith at that age, you would have just been like, oh, thank the Lord for the opportunity to feel like Adam. You know, I'm sure you would have just had this overwhelming sense of the Holy Spirit just descending on you, and you'd have been like, yes, he was naked and felt no shame. But me, on the other hand, I wasn't a Christian at that age. So I was in a moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to have to do? And then it's like that awkward moment where you like open the door and you're like, it's like James Bond, but nothing like James Bond, because he has lots of confidence, and instead you're like, and then you try and make a dash up the stairs. But the thing about the stairs at that Spring Beach campsite is they're the loudest stairs in the world. It's incredible. You can like walk like this, and it still sounds like boom. It's so then all of a sudden. And the other thing that really sucks about that, if you haven't been there, I'll just explain it to you. All the rooms are upstairs, all facing in on one another. So you have all the girls on the far side. Their doors are up there. And they may have caught a glimpse, but we're not going to go into that. But that moment where you're caught out, where you're naked, where you're running, and where you're physically streaking, isn't a fun experience. When I was researching for my sermon this week, this thought sprung to mind, and I thought to myself, does anyone remember when Andrew Simons, in I think it was about 2008, there was a streaker running across the field in one of the ODI games, just put his arm out and like coat hanger this streaker. And Richie Beno's there like, oh, it looks like he's running straight at Andrew Simons. Oh, Andrew might be in for trouble here. But no, actually, the trouble was coming to the streaker because he got coat hangered in that moment. It was hilarious. But I thought it would be a good idea to look up, you know, famous streaks on my... I don't know if you probably shouldn't look at this, teenagers, and everyone else. But there's been some pretty funny streakers over the years. Like, if you're bored this afternoon, if you're looking for things to do... You can look this up. Don't try to outdo it, but you can look this up. But there was one. Does anyone remember Wimbledon? Like, I think it was, what was the date of it? It was Wimbledon 96. 96, the men's final. There'd never actually been a streaker at a Wimbledon event before. And this woman who was about 22 decided to streak across the tennis field at Wimbledon at the final. And there's this incredible photo of the two tennis players standing there side by side looking at her. I just thought, that's hilarious. it amused me anyway. Well, the time when Tony Lockett, where they released a pig onto the field at the SCG, and you see all these people running around trying to collect this pig, but they can't. It amuses me. But have you ever felt that experience? Have you ever been, you don't have to show your hands, because it might bring up some unwanted memories, but that feeling of being exposed where you've had to run and try to cover and hide, and it's just that awkward moment. And maybe for some of you here, you've experienced that physically before, but I honestly believe that some Christians, myself included at times, we might not have experienced the physical, like physically streaking or being caught out in a moment like that, but I think often we can be found spiritually streaking because we haven't clothed ourselves properly in what God's given us to wear. You know, in this passage of scripture that we read just before, it says, since we're surrounded, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. In other words, we do need to be Christians that strip off weights that slow us down. We need to take off the old nature. Ephesians 4:22 in the Amplified Bible says this: strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which has characterized your previous manner of life, that has become corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. That's the Amplified version for Ephesians 4:22. In Colossians 3:8-9, it says this: but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. You know, I've always found that when you take something off, you've got to put something back on. Because in that situation where I was having a shower and I was minding my own business, I took off the dirty clothes. We'd been running around, I'd gotten dirty. Even just the other week, I had a cricket 2020 game on, just an inter-club pre-season game I love cricket. Cricket's so much fun. I'm so glad that it's cricket season again. And then in about 4 months' time, I'll be hating cricket because I'll be getting bowled and different things will happen. It'll be frustrating. But anyway, we had a 2020 game and I'm like a pre-season specialist. So me and my brother, we don't always do that well during the actual season. But when pre-season comes, we're like, yeah, come on. Because we end up bowling well. We end up hitting lots of runs and we feel like, oh, this is going to be the best year ever. And then we quickly come down and you know, was pride comes before a fall. So maybe God's working on me. But we're playing this 2020 game and I got dirty because I like to slide around and try to stop singles and stop fours. And I'm just one of those energetic fielders, like a Jack Russell on steroids or a Jack Russell on red sugar or something. I don't know. So I was running around trying to field. But the thing is, when I got home, I didn't then put on the old clothes that I took off. You know, I went, wait a second, this is all disgusting. It all smells. Put it in the dirty linen basket. Had my shower. Fantastic. But then I decided to put on new clothes. I decided to put on clean things. So I want to encourage us here today that if you're taking off the old nature, but then you're not actually choosing to put on the new nature, what are you going to do? The reality is when you're cold or when you're naked, generally you're going to find something to put back on. So if you don't actively put on the new nature that Christ has for you, if you don't actively put on what God has given you, the reality is you'll revert to putting on what you've put on the ground. The dirty stuff, the old behavior, the slander, the dirty language, the anger, the rage, the lies that you were meant to have stripped off, as it said in Colossians 3:8-9. Instead, we've got to choose to put on a new nature. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because in this race that we've called to run, this race of faith, God has actually given us stuff to wear to live out this life of faith. Yeah, and I honestly find, like, I've got my cricket gear down here and I might bring it up in a second, but I actually have more courage when I'm clothed correctly. I have more courage when I'm clothed correctly. We've got some pretty fast bowlers in our cricket team. And by fast, I mean fast. Like, really fast. Like, it hurts you when it hits you. But when I'm wearing my pads, when I'm wearing my helmet, when I have my bat in my hands, when I've got the most important thing on, I feel more confident because I'm protected, because I'm clothed correctly. And in the same way, I want to encourage us, energize the church, that God has an attire for each and every single one of us. He has something that he wants you to put on. He wants you to take off that old nature, but he wants you to put on something. And when you put it on, it will help you operate and live out the life of faith that Christ has called you to live. So what do we need to put on? That's a great question. Thanks for asking, Jen. Actually, just on another note, last Sunday night I was talking about not just having a spiritual Sunday but a supernatural every day. And just a little testimony, I was really encouraged by this. On Thursday, I met this person that was really, really... Sorry, it wasn't Thursday, it was Friday. This person that was really sick and she was meant to be performing in an event on Friday night singing. And she was like, I've got all this pain in my throat, I can't speak properly. And me and this other person just prayed for her. And she just started bursting into tears and the power of God came upon her and she received this healing. It was so incredible. I just wanted to encourage you. It just popped to my mind just then. I just want to encourage you. If you've got some sickness in your body, let us pray for it later, because God doesn't want you just to continue walking in that. But something that he's given us is that we can be healed by his stripes, as we were declaring in one of those songs earlier today. But I just wanted to encourage you with that. That was because you're not called just to have a spiritual Sunday. You're meant to have a supernatural every day. So if there's opportunities to pray and believe the things in faith, let me encourage you, step out, believe. God will respond to that. It was actually in conjunction with, I'm just going to brag, Peter Swift here. Everyone give Peter Swift a round of applause. He started working at Alpha Crucis College and doing some great things there, but he sent me this thing on Smith Wigglesworth. And let me encourage you, if you haven't read much on Smith Wigglesworth, do yourself a favour. Just buy the book that Pete's reading and start reading it. It will stir up your faith. And because he sent me something that stirred up my faith, then I went out and prayed for someone that I probably would have just went, oh, that's a shame that you're sick. So let me encourage you, start feeding your faith and see what God can do. Anyway, back to putting, we need to put our clothes on. So turn to the person next to you and say, put something on. Put something on. All right. What are we going to put on? It says this in Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Love in verse 14. It says this, above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. In Ephesians 22:24, it said this, it said, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Then it says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, Derwent Valley, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Truly righteous and holy. God has given you something to wear. And when you put it on, you will carry yourself with a greater level of confidence. You know, just even on that same day that I prayed for this person and saw this healing, that morning, I went to this place called Monks & Co. It's, thank you, Caleb Walker, for recommending it to me. But it's this fantastic barbershop. And they do ridiculously good beard trims. And they'll get the shaver under here and they'll get this lemon myrtle-scented hot tea towel and wrap it around your face. It's an exhilarating experience. But then afterwards, after you've had the haircut, after you've had the beard trim, women, you probably don't have the beard trims, but after you've had the haircut, you walk out of that place, it's like, yep, come on, I'm ready to take on today. You know, there's a sense of like, the chest all of a sudden comes up. Like, I haven't done chest day for like 5 months. But like, your chest goes out regardless because you feel you've carry yourself with a greater level of confidence. You know, when you take off this old sinful nature, if you don't put anything on, you'll just sneak around like a spiritual streaker. We're not called to be spiritual streakers. We're called to be Christ's ambassadors. And ambassadors don't walk around like this. They walk around confidently. And I want to encourage each and every single one of us, when we put on what Christ has given us, when we clothe ourselves in love, and when we put on the armor of God, you won't walk around spiritually insecure. You'll walk around with confidence. You'll be able to run the race that God has set before you with confidence. So this bag that's underneath Simon's legs, actually I'm going to invite one of the loudest and most rowdy youth kids that we have at Energizer Youth. I didn't ask him, but he's going to come up because I'll tell him to. But Joey Morse, this kid is, oh my gosh. The amount of times I've had to pull up Joey Morse and be like, Joey, just tone it down a bit. Joey, come up here. For those who don't know Joey, he's the quietest kid in the world. Anyway, give Joey a round of applause. We all love Joey. But Joey, I have some of my cricket gear here. Very important piece. But put this on. I reckon it will suit you. As I was saying before, that really does suit Joey, doesn't it? I reckon he should go to his school wearing that. I reckon the kids would love it. They would be like, Joey, you're like the coolest kid in the world wearing that cricket helmet. they do already say that, and that is a very true statement. But when I play cricket, as I said before, I actually feel more confident when I'm clothed correctly. One of the funniest stories is, actually, it's probably not that funny. It's probably a terrible story. A story about a friend of mine, one of my brother's best mates. Pre-season last season, the very first training, he thought it would be a smart idea to go out there and try practicing without a helmet, without bats, without anything, without a box. That's probably the most important one. And he was okay for a bit because he's an all right player. But then after a little while, someone bowled this ball, it jagged back in a little bit, and it cracked him somewhere that you don't want to be hit. And it was horrific. The pain that he experienced, the photos that I cannot remove from my mind. He's a funny sort of guy. He sent a picture to my brother, and then my brother thought it'd be funny to send it to me. But now that's scarred in my mind, and that didn't just affect him, it affected everyone. And in the same way, if you're not clothed correctly, you can get hurt. And that's why it's so important to put on the armor of God. There was one time where I tried to go out without a helmet, and I thought it would be smart to play a ramp shot. Does anyone know what a ramp shot is? A ramp shot is a cricket shot where you go down on one leg and try to play it over your head. You know what? That's a really, it's a really good shot at times because generally there's not many fielders back over there. But the problem is if you play that shot and you angle the bat incorrectly, you can hit it straight into your face. So when you're not wearing a helmet, this was about 3 seasons ago, I end up having this massive bruise on my jaw and I couldn't chew properly for about 2 weeks. It sucked. But instead, when I have a helmet on, if the ball hits me in the head, it doesn't really matter. You know, it says take off this old nature, but put on a new nature. And firstly, I shared that passage in Colossians. It says, clothe yourself in love. And above all else, let me encourage you, energize the church. In this day and age, we don't need more judgmental Christians. We need Christians that are clothed in love. We need Christians that actually operate from a place where they're for people, where they love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, but then they love others as themselves. So putting this armor on isn't so that you can be a high and mighty judgmental Christian. I'm better than everyone. I'm armed and dangerous. No. Put the armor on, but then make sure you wrap the garment of love over the top of all of it. Because without love, you're actually missing the point. I just thought I'd just clarify that. So anyway, we've chucked on a helmet. Now, who here has done Sunday school? Yeah, who remembers what the helmet is? Ah, well done. Well done. You know, every single day, we need to take off the old nature, the old mindset, and choose to put on a helmet of salvation. Choose to take off those old ways of thinking and choose to replace it with, I am saved, healed, called your very own. I am washed. That sounds like a song. Clean, clothed. You know, it's declaring the promises of God in your mindset. Taking down spiritual strongholds in your mind and declaring God's truth. You know, the facts might be that this is going on, but God's truth says this. So it's in those moments, it's choosing to continually put on a new mindset. And the devil can have a playground in your mind. Does anyone realize that before? He'll be like, if you've been alive for more than 30 seconds, you'll realize that the devil will try to call back things, mistakes you've made, that situation where you stuffed up astronomically. He'll try to call that stuff back to you. And get you to live in this reality, tired, weighed down, crippled by mistakes in the past. Instead, we've got to speak to those things and go, no, I'm taking that thought captive and submitting it to Christ. And instead, I'm going to choose to believe the truth that God has for me, that I am his son, whom he is well pleased with, that I am his ambassador. I'm salt and light. I bring change to this world. I bring hope to this world. I'm his hands and feet. So this part is so important. I don't know how many Christians out here spiritually streak at times without putting on the helmet. Wake up in the morning and instead of renewing your mind by allowing it to be transformed by God's word, allowing it instead to be filled with worldliness. Just hearing what's on the radio. That new Lady Gaga song, I've got nothing against Lady Gaga, but some of her songs are terrible. But, you know, if you allow that sort of stuff to be the things that permeate your thinking, then no wonder you're going to find yourself thinking, having your thinking stinking. Sorry, I just had to rhyme it. I was just like, you know, the reality is if you allow those things that are not from the Word to be the food for your thought, then it's going to go moldy. It's going to go bad. It's not a good place. That's why it's so important. First thing, chuck on this helmet. Now, what's the second part for those people that did Sunday school? So you put on the helmet of salvation. Who remembers the second one? Oh, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, for this one, what else have we got in here? I reckon we're going to do the pads of righteousness. I reckon put on these ones, mate. You know, the great thing, when you're wearing cricket pads in cricket, what's that? Yeah, that's, you know, the final, who remembers that final part? The fiery arts of the enemy. So I'm going to give you guys all cricket balls. And then at the end, see what happens. It'll be incredible. No, we're not actually going to do that. We love Joey way too much to do that. Let me just read the passage to us all anyway. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth. We'll chuck that on in a second. Putting on the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace. So the great thing about putting these pads on, I tell you what, it really hurts being hit in the legs with cricket balls. Not pleasant at all. But it hurts even more in life when it says put on a breastplate of righteousness. The body armor of righteousness. When your heart is not guarded, it says guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It's so vital to be putting protection on the places where you're most likely to come under attack. And the heart is easily attacked. And it holds to offense. It holds to hurt. It holds to pain. More than we would like, I'm sure. And that's why it's so important on a daily basis to firstly put on the helmet to protect your mind, but then put on something to protect your knees, your heart. He's actually, I'm sure there's an animal that has a heart, hearts in their legs. Someone that has a science background, help me out. Stegosaurus. I don't know. We could strap this across his chest. I don't actually have my arm. A chest guard with me today. I should have used that actually. We'll turn. Anyway, you understand what I'm trying to say. We need to put on the armor, and the heart is something that we need to protect. If you want to run this race that Christ has called you to run, a life of faith, then you need to be making sure that you guard your heart, that you protect it. And it's not with your righteousness, it's with his righteousness. Because the Bible in Romans 3 talks about how none of us are righteous, that we're actually only made righteous through faith. So my encouragement is when you're trying to guard your heart, don't just guard it with the good things you've done. Guard it with what God has said over you, that you are made righteous, that you are washed clean, that your sins are forgiven, that your guilt and shame, as we were declaring in that first song, have been absolved in his name. Instead, we put on his righteousness. And allow that to guard our hearts. It says put on the belt of truth. You know, the belt of truth is such an important and vital piece of clothing. This is a thigh pad. This is also pretty vital too. But the belt of truth, it actually keeps your pants up. You know what is so important? Living a life of integrity and a life of honesty. A life where you speak the truth. And I've shared this before. When I was a young whippersnapper, I had this bad habit of always doing little white lies. I thought to myself that, if I can sort of swing things to my favor more, that'd be better for me in the long run. I actually found out quite quickly that it wasn't. That every time I tried to swing things, people would start to pick up on it because parents and other people are more observant than an 8-year-old. Joey needs help putting on cricket gear. As you can see, Joey hasn't really played too much cricket, so yeah, that will do. We'll do that. That'll work. Give Joey a round of applause. That's hard work. It is completely in the wrong place, but that's beside the point. The thigh pad goes over here. One of them goes under that, and then the other one goes around your waist. But that's okay. We've just put it all around his waist because we're professional cricketers here at Energizer Church. But the belt of truth, you know, when I was also young, there were a few times where I got dacked. And that was not a fun experience. Like I said, I was a class clown. So I would try to do funny things to people and then people would try to do funny things to me. But those experiences were never enjoyable. Having your pants pulled down around you is not good. And the thing is, when you actually wear a belt of truth, when you choose to wear truth, doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen to you, but it means that nobody can come down and expose you for who you really are, or for the truth that's really in the situation. Let's make sure that at the start of each day, if we're going to run this life of faith that Christ has called us to run, we put on a helmet of salvation. We put on a breastplate of righteousness. We put on a belt of truth. Those things will help you run. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to take off your shoes. I don't know if you've got clean socks on. Put on shoes. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. I've got a pair of shoes in here, and these ones actually, yeah, they do look a bit like yours. They've got like harder outside to them. You know, you can have some footwear, but especially in cricket, it's good to have shoes that protect your toes a little bit, because a 140-kilometre Yorker hitting your toes, if they're exposed, is not enjoyable. Generally breaks your toes. So it's important to have good shoes on. And these ones look like, yeah, they're pretty good. We'll give them a pass. Pass mark. That's a pass mark to Joey. Well done. But with that, we need to make sure that we're putting the gospel of peace on our feet. Each day, we're not walking in uncertainty. Each day, we're not stepping in anxiety, but instead, we're choosing to put on what he's given us, which is his peace, the good news. The good news is that Jesus has already won, that death has been defeated, that sin and shame have been dealt with on the cross. So therefore, I don't have to tiptoe through life thinking, oh, how am I going to do this? I can walk confidently, knowing that Christ is with me, Christ is for me, that the battle against sin and death has been overcome. Let us make sure that we continue to put on the gospel of peace on our feet. And similarly, also recognize that it's not all about us. That this gospel of peace is actually go and preach the good news. Go and make disciples. So in other words, these shoes are put on you not just so you can walk with confidence and peace, but so that, Joey, you can go to your school. You can go to the skate park. You can go to your family members. You can go to that random person that you come across on a Friday that's unwell and actually be the conduit of faith to help them hear the gospel and hear the good news for themselves. This is meant to be the worst kept secret. And these shoes are put on you. They're better than Nikes. They're better than the best pair of pretty, I don't even know what these are, leather things. Italian leather. These shoes are the shoes that we're meant to put on each day. Spiritually. Readjusting ourselves. Not just going out there to make the money that we need to pay our mortgage and feed our kids. No. I'm putting on these shoes at the start of the day so that I can bring good news to people who need to hear it. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Have you guys all got your cricket balls ready? Yep, fantastic. I can't believe you want to throw cricket balls at Joey, the quietest, most lovely human in the world. You guys, we need to pray for you people in the front row. Put on these. Instead of a shield of faith, I've got the gloves of faith. But these gloves, in the same way that you hold a shield, these gloves are so vital in cricket, because so often when you're batting, when you're playing, the ball will come at you at a sharp angle and then hit your hands. And I tell you what, it hurts. I know, everything hurts. As you realize, when you're not armed in cricket, it hurts. You get hit left, right and center. It's not pleasant. And in the same way that these gloves actually protect his hands and enable him to continue to do the works that God's come to do. And the shield of faith, I loved how Pastor Dave a few weeks ago was talking about these shields. They were actually there to interlock so that they could actually, it wasn't just meant to be a solitary shield as a lone ranger, a Chuck Norris sort of situation. It was meant to be like the Romans would come together and unite them together, which you don't generally see on a cricket field. You don't see all the cricketers standing there and uniting their hands together. But they do actually protect your hands, and they protect you so you can continue to do the things that Christ has called you to do. Now, that's an important one. Then it has, after that, it says, put on salvation as your helmet, which we've already put on. We did that first because Joey's proactive. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Actually, now I realize, I was going to get you to put that on, but that would have been awkward. There we go. You're fully armed. You're ready to play cricket. Who wants to bowl a bowl at him? Did anyone bring a cricket ball with them today? No one? No, I don't have any spares in there. What a shame, Joey. You're not going to get to play cricket today. You got prepared for nothing. But the encouraging thing is, in the kingdom of God, if you put on this stuff daily, if you make it a discipline, then maybe there might be some days where you don't feel like you had that much of an impact, but you're not putting it on for no reason, like Joey is right now. You're putting it on so that you can become more Christ-like in all that you do. And that is the goal. That is the purpose, to become more like Christ, to be transformed, to have the old nature taken off and to put on the new nature that he has for us. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, cricket would be a very boring sport without a bat. You know, if some people think it would be, you know, if he went out there with all the stuff on, but without the bat, the sword of the Spirit, without the cricket bat, and then he, you know, who's the fastest bowler in the world at the moment? Pat Rafter. He's a tennis player. Oh my gosh. Wowzers. Who's the fastest player that's ever bowled? Michael Holding? Dennis Lilly? I know Brett Lee was pretty fast. Michael Johnson. I thought he was a scary bowler. But if Joey Morse, this would actually be, I would pay money for this. That's slightly disturbing. But I'd pay money to see Joey Morse go out there and face Michael Johnson. It'd be, why are you going, I reckon it'd be great to see Joey hit a six off Michael Johnson. Yeah, Mitchell Johnson. Oh, I meant Michael Johnson. I want to see the basketballer. MJ, Mitchell Johnson, Michael, whatever. Some sporting person. Pat Rafter. But, you know, if Joey went out there and he was facing up against Brett Lee without a cricket bat, it would be so awkward. Actually, Joey already looks a little bit awkward. But it would be really awkward. Confident, but awkward. It would be really awkward to see him face up against someone like that without a bat. And in the same way, we need to make sure that each day, that when we step out of the comfort zone of our own home, when you step into your workplace, when you step into your mission field, that you're not just doing it unarmed, but you're doing it with the Word of God at your disposal. That's why it's so important to be feeding on this Word daily, because you can't use what you don't have. You need to be taking the Word of God in daily, so then God can use it through you daily as well. So you're not unarmed, but you're actually going in fully prepared, fully armed. See, I find, as I said, confidence comes when you're clothed correctly. And this race that Christ has called us to, this life of faith, to go from glory to glory, to be transformed more into God's image, to bring his kingdom here on earth, that you can either do it as a spiritual streaker unarmed, and you're probably not going to get much done, or you can do it fully clothed with what God has placed on you. And like I said, once you're fully armored, put that be clothed in love above all else. You know, it's that all-purpose garment, as it says in the Message Bible. Let's thank Joey for playing dress up with Dan Pastor today. We appreciate it, man. You can carry this all down and you can get changed down there on the ground. There you go. Well done, mate. Congratulations. Now, I know in some ways it's a silly analogy, but I sometimes find a visual can help us really help it sink in and resonate in us a bit more. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And they're going to start leading in some worship in a moment. But if you know today, you've actually rocked up to our Sunday service here at Energizer, and you know that you haven't put on your breastplate of righteousness, you haven't put on your belt of truth, you haven't put on your helmet of salvation, you haven't put the gospel on your feet, you haven't put purpose to those steps, you haven't picked up a shield against those fiery attacks of the enemy, you haven't picked up his sword, you haven't picked up his word yet today, I'm not mentioning it right now in this moment to condemn, but just to encourage you in worship. Worship is such a great time to actually get clothed. You know, for me personally, I have music on most mornings when I'm trying to get ready. You know, it's in this atmosphere of worship, let it be a platform or an opportunity to actually put those things in place. To go, God, I'm putting salvation, I'm putting on the right mindset for the rest of today. I'm not allowing those other thoughts that have been running wild to continue to run wild in my mind. I'm taking that thought captive and I'm now putting on the mind of Christ. I'm not allowing those words of guilt and shame to take root in my heart, that bitterness. I'm not allowing that stuff to hit here. I'm going to guard myself with His righteousness. I'm going to put that on right now in this time of worship. No, I'm not going to walk out of here with no purpose, for I know that I'm called to bring His kingdom here to Hobart, here to my family, here to my friendship circles. So I'm going to put on the gospel of feet, the gospel of peace on my feet. The gospel of feet. Oh, that'd be a terrible gospel. I hate feet. But I'm going to put that on in this moment of worship. So in the Derwent Valley campus and here in Belrive, let me encourage you in this moment, in this time of worship that we have, let's firstly, you know, take off any of that old nature that you feel like you've put on or you've left on. But then secondly, let's not leave this place naked. Let's clothe ourselves with the things that God has given us to wear. Let me pray for you, and then our team will lead us in worship. God, I just thank you so much for each and every single person that's here today. God, I ask in Jesus' mighty name, you'd help us take off those old sinful natures that are on us. If anyone's walked in here still wearing it, God, I pray you'd give them the courage, you'd give them the faith, you'd give them the strength to be able to remove those things, to then allow your love, your spirit, your righteousness to wash us clean. And then from there, we thank you that your grace enables us to be able to be clothed in this stuff, God. That the law required of us, but your grace enables us to live this life. So God, I pray that you'd give each and every single one of us the grace to put on your helmet, to put on your breastplate of righteousness, to put on your belt of truth, to put on your gospel of peace on these feet, to put on this shield of faith, to put on this sword of spirit, to stand strong, to walk tall, to live confidently, to have confidence because we're clothed correctly in the attire that you've given us, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus, for what you're doing in this moment. Let's worship Jesus together.